So I want to begin share with the tour, to read through the tour slowly, and to talk about, fill in some of the stuff that's going to come in the Beis Yosef. But maybe we'll read a little bit of pieces of Beis Yosef. So Dine HaTaroves Ubitulon. Can I get someone to read, please? Okay, we also need to make clear when to bring toward the reigning text now, probably for the next few days, is the Shulchan Aruch. So if you don't have a Shulchan Aruch, if I can ask maybe if you are willing to share, because I say, and those who are bunched together can you guys share your Shulchan Aruch? Is that okay? Oh, you're both holding a Shulchan Aruch. So can you let them, Alex and CJ, have yours? So they can look on, so everybody should be, if you don't have your own, close to someone who does. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Isurin Shabbatora Beshishim. Amar Rava, Amar Rabbanan Betaima, Amar Rabbanan Bekfela, and Amar Rabbanan Beshishim. That's Rava's statement. By the way, I just noticed this. Having read the Torah probably at least 30 times. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? You guys have a problem? Did anybody see Rabbi Yochanan say that Kol Yisurin Shabbatora B'Shishim? The first line, the Torah made it up. He's talking about Rabbi Shuben Levi. I don't think Rabbi Yochanan cited there at all. Okay, I never noticed that until now. I wonder if it's a misprint. So he's quoting Rabbi Shuben Levi, who says all Yisurin Shabbatora B'Shishim, which is one of the two deos by Zera B'Shela. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Yisurin Shabbatora Amar Rava Amar Rabbanan B'Taima Amar Rabbanan Mekrela Amar Rabbanan B'Shishim. So here the Torah is going to analyze each of these. He's, as the Beis Yosef points out, the Torah in the first paragraph, the Torah is mafsik in the middle of Rava's statement, in order to make comments. All right, so I'm sorry. Somebody's supposed to be reading, not me. Who was reading? Lavi, you were reading?
I don't think so.
Okay, but now you are. All right, go ahead. Okay, so first. So start now. Min b'she'eno mino. Okay, so if there's no, if the Kohen says there's no taste of Truma, it's Mutter. Can you think of another case of Taima Dehtera? What? Oh, someone takes a Neder, so someone else takes, fine, okay. What? Nazir? How about a common case? Halach Lamaisa. Not Lachatrila Chalamaisa, but B'dieved. B'dieved it works. You take an onion, and you chop it with a fleshik knife. So some of you might know, maybe because of your own experience, and you asked the shayla because you heard something via the grapevine about onions and so on. So we're putting together a few chumras, which they're not the chumras that appear on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. So if you chop an onion, a sharp food, with a knife that is milchiks or fleshiks, even though it's not a benyomo knife, and even though the knife is clean, the halacha is the onion becomes milchiks or becomes fleshiks, whatever the knife. In other words, the onion, the sharp food, with a sharp blade, with pressure, extracts the blios, and since it's sharp, the food, it turns the blios into no sein tam l'shvach, the positive flavor in it. Now, this comes up, this is, I don't want to say routine shayla, it's a frequent shayla. The balabas or the balabas, they're chopped up an onion for the chilant, and forgot that they were using a milchik knife, and then they toss the onion into the chilant. And the shayla is, what's a meat chilant? What's the deal with the chillant? Now, this is not usually what happened, but this is in theory what could happen. The position of the Mechaber and the Ramah is, or another case for Ashkenazim at least. If you cook, you had a fleshik pot that you used in the last 24 hours, and you cooked, well, this one won't matter because bidi evid, it's, well, you cooked,
Right, bad example. You cook pasta in the fleshed pot. So what's the status of the pasta? We're going to learn about this in Basar B'Chalav. Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. It's towards the Siman Sadi Vav, I believe. So the halacha, if Sfardim, if the pot was clean, you can use the pasta. You can flesh it, but you can pour cheese over the pasta. For Ashkenazim, you're not allowed l'chatchila to do so, to eat it with cheese or pour cheese over. But if b'di'evet, if you pour the cheese over it already, then I think even Ashkenazim are make it b'di'evet. So that's a bad example. Let's talk about the onion example. So let's say I have a very simple solution. You chop the onion with a fleshik knife. Why did you taste the onion? If the onion tastes of meat, then it's fleshik. If it doesn't, then it's not. And that, in fact, is how the Mechaber and the Ramah paskin. They paskin that you can taste it, and then if it doesn't taste of the substance, then you're fine. Now, the Shach quotes the Achronim, don't like that we don't rely upon Tima. She said, but the Evid we do. But the Evid, if you tasted the onion, and the onion did not taste at all melchiks, and now you throw it into the chulent, now it's mutter, based upon your Tima. That we do paskin, that the Shach does say. So, a classic example of Taima de Hetera is milchiks or fleshiks. That's the one. How many of you are Nazirim? How many of you know any Nazirim? How many of you, where's Jared? Wasn't he here? I thought he was here already. We have one Kohen here. But he doesn't eat Truma. He doesn't eat Truma. We don't give him Truma. We don't like him. He's not our favorite Kohen. So you don't have those as non-Zavim, but you do have milk and meat. Okay. So you give it to the Kohen to taste. If he tastes Truma, it's mutter. Continue, Lavi. Chelev. It could be either. It's Chelev. It's Chelev, I think. Am I right? They talk about this, actually. I don't remember for sure. Okay. What? I may not be right now. Right now, I may be in Nafkamina. So Yitamenu. Oh, I'll tell you, the Nafkamina as much as is the assumption here that Chelev and Basar are one Tam or Mimamino, Mimashen Amino. Because right now we're talking Mimashen Amino. So that's it. But it's not that it matters in Din. It matters, you know, it would matter. It would have Hashlachot, maybe. I'm not even sure the Maisa would be an issue. But I guess it would be whether it's Deraisa Drabbanu. That wouldn't matter. Okay. Fine. So the Sura Kegon Chelev Shenizar Bebasar. Okay. All right, so the first question is, when the Gemara says, Yitamenu Kfela, does it have to be an expert or not? The Gemara says Kfela. Now, if you want to say it doesn't have to be an expert, why does the Gemara say Kfela? So I think the same way the Beis Yosef throws in the line, because anybody who comes to taste something is engaged in the Nachtom's profession, the Kfela's profession. So he's like a kvela bar yoma, right? He's a kvela for the day, a kvela for the moment. That's all. There are two other answers. One possibility. What are the other two possibilities? You can give one.
It's like an extra thing that has to do with whether it was what's the phrase?
Meisiach lefituma.
Okay. If he's meisiach lefituma, he doesn't need to be.
Correct. So the I would tell you the following. I think five shitas in Rishonim that you can extract. There are five possibilities, and I'm pretty sure all five exist, but four for sure exist in Rishonim as to what are the requirements here for a kfela tasting. And there are two different questions that are in play. Question number one is the person tasting capable of tasting? In other words, is he sufficiently expert to tell you that there is no such tasting? That's question number one. Question number two is, why would you believe him? Now, I'll ask question number three, why would you not believe him? And the answer to that is, because he's a god. That's for example. Now, obviously, we understand that in Metzias today, it's probably unlikely, maybe I'm naive, it's unlikely that Jews lie any more or less than God. People lie some of the time. But in Halacha, and maybe it's reflected in the period of Chazal, there was seen to be a deep concern about
not being them on him, not being trustworthy. I assume that a good part of that had to do with their own social experience. Yes, Abby.
I think there are lots of reasons why a non-Jew is honest about this particular thing if you know what he's doing. But a lot of those would include like a Jew who doesn't know halacha or doesn't care about halacha.
So as a general point, it's true. A Jew, I will tell you two things. One is that from a halachic perspective, a Jew who is not observant of a particular din has no nemonis for that din. Basic principle in your day, you learn this if you do Hilcha Shechita, is there are two averos that make you a mumar l'chala Torah kula. Everything else, if you're a mumar for a particular avera, I think even a mumar l'hachas. Mumar l'hachas doesn't just mean you do it despite God, it means you just don't care. Like, that's not one of your principles. I just don't care about this mitzvah. You're not nemon for that particular mitzvah. If for some crazy reason I've got a fetish about, even if you're a mumar l'teavon, a mumar l'teavon is someone who does something because of overwhelming desire. And mumar l'hachas means he just doesn't care. I mean, it could be to be spiteful, but not necessarily. So let's say I'm this guy, I'm mumar l'teavon, I just love the feel of shatnez. I need. I don't have my tag in here. Okay, so my only suit said the suit doesn't have shatnez in it. But I'm a guy, I just love shatnez. So then I'm not nemon with to tell you that this suit doesn't have shatnez. That's amazing. Because it's not one of my principles. You don't have nemonis on it. There are only two averos that make someone not nemon l'chol haTorah kula. Right? If a person doesn't believe in any of the Taryag mitzvahs, so obviously they don't have nemonis because each mitzvah they're a mum. What are the two mitzvahs? Number one is Avodah Zarah, and number two is l'chol haShabbos v'Farhesya, which means I can obey Avodah Zarah. And maybe Michal Shabbos for Hesed, I'm not going about the contemporary issue of non-observant Jews and Tino Shanish, but the post can deal with it, whatever you say, but in principle, Owen Abu Dazara, and a Michal Shabbos the Far Hesed, where Shabbos is made to the Borei Olam, and he created the world, so to be Michal Shabbos the Far Hesed, if you reach that Madrega, then you're like an Oved Abu Dazara. Okay. And that's a shayla that comes up, by the way, it's Machlokas Aposkim, regarding wine that's touched by a non-observant Jew. It's a whole literature and a whole machlokas aposkim about this issue. Okay. So, our goy, just even on those grounds alone, doesn't have an emunah for a mitzvah that he doesn't, that's not one of the mitzvahs, but I think it runs deeper than that. Now, by the way, in mitzvahs in the world, you should be aware that, Lavi, in your comment, is that at least people have said to me, and again, obviously there are always exceptions in every direction, but at least anecdotally, when you have people who work in the professional world and they need kosher food taken care of, it's easier often dealing with non-Jews than it is with non-frum Jews. Because non-Jews tend to actually be more respectful because when you ask for kosher food, they don't perceive it in any way as a slight to them or indicting them because they don't keep kosher, you don't expect to be kosher, it's not one of the mitzvahs. But sometimes with non-observant Jews, they first they think they know better, they take it personally because, you know, like, I'm Jewish too, so why, you know, what do you need this for and so on. So ironically, it can sometimes be more complicated when you have someone who's not observant than someone who's not Jewish. More for psychological reasons. But either way, either party does not have nemonis. So how do you get around the problem of nemonis? So the answer is that sometimes you don't need nemonis. There's a fascinating tshuva of Rav Moshe in which he was asked about, this is go back to communist Russia, and the parents were from, and the children were no longer from, they were communists. And the parents got older, and they couldn't live by themselves. And the children moved in with the children, and they needed kosher meat. And the parents at some point couldn't go and get it, and they needed to rely upon their children to do it. And Rav Moshe was makel on the grounds that when you need edus, so someone who's not observant isn't neman, that's only when you need edus. But sometimes you have what's called yediyah. If these parents knew that their children, who were respectful of them, would never buy them non-kosher meat, you don't need edus in that. And as you're not relying upon edus, you're relying upon what I would call a different kind of chazak. I think Rav Moshe used the term yediyah. It's a very, very important tshuva in contemporary times. If you had told me this would be really important 20 years ago, I wouldn't have necessarily assumed that. But today, where unfortunately we've witnessed a reversal, at least a more noticeable reversal of the Baal Tshuva movement, the opposite, in our community. Especially when it comes to families, this could be potentially, I'm not saying whether it does or does apply, but it's potentially a significant kula, where you have a non-firm relative, or where you have cases of non-firm children who want to have their family members over. So, and you know in real world that the family member may not be from, but they respect the fact that you're from, and they would not do something that would violate your religious beliefs. So the question is, in what circumstances can you apply Rav Moshe's svara that you have yediyah, even though you can't have edus, because for edus, they're posel,
right? To testify to be Erecha Nema Bisurin,
and Erecha is not Nema Bisurin, on something which they don't they personally observe.
Just a note about that, because I was asked this question strange enough recently. Eight echad is neman be'isurin. You asked the question, how do I know the food is kosher? One person told me, where's the edus? The answer is eight echad neman be'isurin. How do we know that eight echad neman be'isurin? So the probable makar is the pasuk by nida v'safra la'atzma. The woman counts her days of nida. She's nemenis to say that she stopped bleeding, and she's nemenis to say that she went to the mikvah. So that's how we know eight echad is neman be'isurin. It applies to an isha. It applies certainly neved kanani. It applies to a free, you know, an ish. Now, it doesn't apply to a guy. Zach?
Or a woman also neman b'isurin?
Zach. Do you eat in your mother's kitchen?
Yeah, I'm saying in general women aren't hafashlevis,
no? Zach, I asked you, do you eat in your mother's kitchen?
Yeah.
Why do you think the food is kosher? How do you know? You're going to get in so much trouble.
Yes,
I just want to clarify. I mean, so with b'isurin...
Yes, the makor is from an isha by nida.
Right, so that's not opposed to normally.
It does eid echad neman bisurin. Eid echad is not normal. You normally can't have an eid echad. And as for mamanos, you need two eidim, and a woman can't be an eid. But for eidus to be surin, yes, an isha is nemenis. Absolutely. What?
I don't know that a katan is technically neman, not by doraisis. I'll tell you where this is going to come up at the end of the year, by tfilas kelim. Says the machlokas harishonim, whether tfilas kelim is the rice or the rabbanon. So glass is definitely the rabbanon, but metal is the machlokas. So the nafkamina will be whether a katan is neman that he tovel the glass.
So I think we don't say by a katan, by doraisis, that he has automatic nemanus. No. Okay. So anyway, now there is one major exception. Well, there's an exception to one situation in the Gemara, where the Gemara says a goy is neman. It's a very odd situation. It's a situation where you should have required formal edus, but the Chachamim allowed us to do without formal edus, and that is edus isha. It doesn't mean the testimony of a woman. It means testimony that a woman's husband has died. The Chachamim were make a, whatever the basis is, to rely upon an eid echad by aguna, Chazal's aguna, not our modern aguna. Whatever the basis was for that, whether that's a kira stafim in a Torah, whether it's really the din d'oraisa, an eid echad is neman by edus isha. It can be isha, it can be eved. I don't remember how it works with ketanim, but
isha, like possessive.
No, a woman is believed about her own husband also. Yes, if she says meis bali, she's nemenis. I'm not going to go into any of the details of the sugya. A goy, however, is only neman if he's meisiach lefituma. What does meisiach lefituma mean? So, it means he's just kind of talking and passing without realizing that he's providing information. The assumption of Chazal is, as a general rule, and I think this is true by almost every human being. It might only not be true by psychopaths. But even people who are habitual liars, it's probably true that they don't normally lie unless there's a reason to lie. In other words, if the Gemara would give this example, I'm going to use a modified version of Gemara's example. If I'm a guy speaking and I talk about how I'm talking to my friends that's sitting around the bar and say, yeah, and I said, did you see that poor guy, that Joe Goldberg, that poor schnook, he got run over by a car. There's not a limb. Everyone's limb was attached. I've never seen so much blood on the ground. You didn't need a coroner to pronounce him dead. So then we would believe the guy, because why would he be lying hanging around with his friends? But if the guy said, oh, that fellow Joe Goldberg, he bugged me, I punched his lights out, put me three punches and he was dead, then you won't believe the guy. Why? Because he might be bragging. He might be bragging to show how strong he is, maybe to intimidate other people. So it has to be meisiach lefituma. In other words, he's talking in a manner, in a context where there's nothing that he would gain by lying. Again, there are a lot of situations people do gain by lying, but you understand. I wish I had a good... There are real-life phenomena where you can sort of point to this, where people just state things in passing, don't even realize they make a comment, and you infer something from that, and you can assume that they're not lying, because that wasn't the whole point of what they were saying. Right? So this guy sitting around the bar isn't thinking, you know, maybe he's a really nice guy, and said, I'll lie and say that her husband died. I didn't really see him die. But this poor woman, this guy's probably never coming back, because he's not a nice guy. He left his wife in the lurch. So I'll just tell her that I saw that her husband was dead. And he might, for good reasons, he might want to lie. But if he doesn't meisiach lefitumo, then he's neman. But the Gemara, the Gemara says it. The Shach says that din, we know that din of meisiach lefitumo
only applies by a goy by dinim deraisa by edus isha. We do not accept the edus of a goy meseich lefitumo by any deraisa except for edus isha. Okay, so I'm not going to talk about the question is so why is meseich lefitumo about to be invoked here? You look, that's a very long shach. If you want to read it, it's fine. It's not something that you need to know for regular yoredeya purposes. It might come up. I can imagine a situation coming up somewhere with a goy and meseich lefitumo, but it's not immediately relevant here. So, coming back to our situation, I said that there would be five possible shitos, and I think all five exist, four for sure exist, as to what is the situation of the goy telling you that there's no time in the food. So, issue number one is making sure the goy no. The only person who has a dispensation to be standing behind is that. That's because he's standing. Only because he's standing. You're part of the shir. So number one, does the person tasting it know what they're doing? Can they taste it? Is it good tasting? Number two, do you trust them or not? So the five shitos would be as follows. All that matters is that the person is a kfela. If he's a kfela, then we allow him to taste and we believe what he says. A second shita would be say, we don't care whether it's an expert or not an expert. There's only one thing we need to know by the guy. That he's Mesiach Lefitumo. If he's not Mesiach Lefitumo, we don't trust him further than we can throw him. Possibility three is that, is that you need both a Kfela and a Mesiach Lefitumo, which might be Rashi Shita, maybe. Maybe the Rush. The Rush is unclear about one of those two. Right? You need both to have an expert and you need to Mesiach Lefitumo, because we don't trust Gaia. Shita number four is any guy, and he doesn't need to be a sechafitumo. That's the Rambam sheet that would appear. And sheet number five, which is the one we paskin like, the Machader paskins like. So there's a sixth sheet there, the Rambam. Explain that in a second. The Machader sheet is, and the Rashba sheet is the following. That if the guy is an uman, if he's a kfela, then he's neman even if he knows that he's giving you testimony. If, however, he's a balabas, he's not a nachtom, then he's only Neman if he's Mesiach Lefituma. What is the logic behind that? Why is he Neman? Why is it Kfela Neman under all circumstances?
Because he's just trying to save his reputation.
Well, in other words, if he gives you wrong information and then you taste it, he'll ruin his reputation, professional reputation.
It doesn't matter whether he's Mesiach.
Right. In fact, you might even argue it's better, in other words, Mesiach Lefituma here means you give him it to taste, you don't ask him why you're giving it to him. So it's even better if you're asking the question directly in a certain way than if it's Mesiach Lefituma. But let's assume he's Neman either way.
Doesn't that assume that you would be able to taste it?
Yeah. That's assuming, this shita assumes that expertise is not fundamentally necessary. Okay. The only advantage of having a kfela is that you don't need Mesiach Lefituma. And if you get a regular balabas who's not a kfela, then he has to be Mesiach Lefituma. Why? Because he has no professional reputation to lose. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we can assume he knows how to discern flavor, but we can't necessarily trust him that he's going to tell us the truth. Was there a question there? So those are basically the five possibilities. Yes, Lavi.
According to the phrasing of...
So we have to read the Torah. Well, but I want, okay. Right. Because you're tasting the Isser.
It's just like a regular case.
In other words,
maybe you're
right, right. But he's asking that if it has been determined it has no tam, but you're sensing there's tam. So the answer is that I think it's another question that the principle involved is, think about the following. The Rama mentions it. I don't know if the Tur mentions it in his formulation now. The Rambam says that you give it to a guy to taste, and if he tells you there's no tam, or it's pogim, then it's mutter. So what is no sein tam of gam? I think we mentioned this in passing, and this is one of the most common concepts that comes up in every kitchen shayla. When you call the rabbi and you say, I use this in that kli, what's the first question the rabbi asks you?
When the last time you used
that kli. Why? because the Gemara is going to assume, and this comes up in the Tam Ki'ikar Asugya, the Gemara is going to assume that a kli after 24 hours, anything that's left in it, is considered no same tam lefgam. It's going to have a negative impact upon the food that you cook in it. Unless it's a sharp food, like onions. That's the problem with onions. It's no same tam lefgam. Within 24 hours, it can be no same tam leshvach. I'm not going to say any more about the tales in that. The Simen Kuf for Gimel Adal is about no same tam lefgam. We'll talk about it there. But the bottom line is that if I have no same tam lefgam, if I can taste the chazer schmaltz in my food, but it tastes bad, meaning it diminishes from the flavor of the food that I got cooked in, it is mutter to eat. So what you're not allowed to do, Lavi, is to get hanah from the tam of Isser, hanah sachila of the tam of Isser. So the kfeila and another guy, you might establish to you that they don't taste anything. And so ironically, this is a weird case where you say they're allowed to eat it. If you have such hypersensitive taste buds, then either assume that they made a mistake, they weren't paying careful attention when they tasted it, or for you, it's really awesome because you can taste the isin. Yeah. I've never seen that case explicitly discussed because it seems highly unlikely, but that's what I would say conceptual. Zach?
So I think there was a case where if you're not sure about whether there's shishim, so it's a runa, and then you can actually eat the food.
Correct, but then if you discover, one second, that's by Mimimino. By Mimimino, it's a suffix whether there was shishim. You know you had a rove, right? You know that you had a rove of heter, samidda raisa, you know that the isser is batel. But in order to be mevatel midrabanan, you require shishim. But you're never going to be able to taste that.
If there's shishim, but there's still a suffix you're going to taste it.
But Mimimino, you can't taste it.
No, it's Mimimino.
And you have shishim. You're not sure, right?
You're not sure. Maybe you're going to taste it still. So you're allowed to eat it, right?
We assume you're not going to taste it. And then if you taste it, then you have to stop.
Okay, so then if you have a suffix,
I don't know. I don't think so. That's a very.
Otherwise,
you'll
go hungry. You'll
never last for Shabbos. Again, I would suggest that it may be a better eitzah, but only if you're in a position to do that. You may have to do it on Shabbos. What if you can add more heter? Is it mutter to add extra heter to make sure you won't taste it just in case you would have? You remember where that came up? The Ra'ah said, if you have a tarobis and minmimino, chad betray and it's batel, you're not allowed to cook it. Why? Because then the yohan nesinas tam, even if you can't taste it from the isser of the heter. But the Ra'ah says, if you want to cook it, you can add in 58 pieces of kosher meat, now you can cook it. So the question is, would this be similar? I think the answer is no, actually. Why? You tell me. What's the difference?
You actually think it's aser.
What?
You actually think it's aser.
Correct. In other words, here you're misupak that it might actually be aser, that you might be tasting it. So you might actually be mevatel iser. You just don't know. There, you're not being mevatel iser. It's mutter to eat this stuff right now. So by adding in all this other meat, you're just adding heter to vaday heter. And now if you cook it, there won't be any transfer of flavor to create a problem. This case, you're misupak, Zach. You think right now it might be aser to eat. You're just not sure. So you have the cool of shishim that you can assume there's no tam. So before you find out whether it's really us or mutter, you want to be mosif to make sure you never get there. So it's not exactly the same as that case in Kuf Tes.
Doesn't mean it's usher.
I'm not saying for sure it's usher, but I don't think you can necessarily learn from that ra'ah and apply it here. That's all. What you can definitely do is taste it and find out, and then you have to stop eating it. One of the things that maybe we'll talk about when we go through the Shulchan Aruch quickly, when we're finished, there's a discussion at Shach and Taz about te'ima v'lashon. What constitutes te'ima? They talk about earlier in Shulchan Aruch and Yeredeya, when they talk about the. I don't know. I can't, it's about the gallbladder. And I forget what you're trying to figure out, you can taste with your tongue. I forget what you're trying to figure out. I don't know if they salted it already, but there's a discussion. Are you allowed to put your tongue on meat to taste it? There's no actual blood in it. You want to taste whether it's salty or not, whether te'ima b'lashon, without taking it to your mouth and chewing up and then spitting out, whether that's mutter. So that's because you know that on a tainus there are certain kulas by te'ima. So that's discussed at the beginning of the sin in the Shachem Taz. What te'ima is actually usher by, especially the suffix isser. How far can you go to do this kind of this te'ima? So that's kind of interesting. Okay. So anyway, So those are the shitos. I'm going to read just make one ha'ara, and then read one paragraph in the Beis Yosef, and then we could go on to what I think is the more interesting conceptual question, which we spoke about a little bit. The Tur writes about the Rosh. So you didn't read the Tur yet. I'm sorry, Levi. Go ahead. Kosav Rosh Bagen. Ve'ein tzarech. Reread that part if you didn't read it. So Zach, I would just say, if it's not nirgash l'stam ben adam, a stam ben adam can eat it. A tefillah, I think, might not be able to eat it. I mean, it's possible I'm wrong. It's possible the Rashba would say, if stam ben adam can't taste it, I mean, what are you going to say to the tefillah? Lucky you, because you have such a fine tongue, you can enjoy the chas v'shmelts. I don't know. It seems hard to believe that. The chiddush of what I'm saying is that it's possible to have a substance that's mutta to one person, asur to another person, although it makes sense. If the isser is tam ki'ikar, that you're tasting the isser, makes it like you're eating the isser if you don't taste the isser, right? Now I understand what your questions. I understood where your questions come. Now I'm coming back to your obvious question, Zach. But what if I put hot sauce on my tongue so I can't taste it? I hate to ask the question, but if you do that, you won't taste the rest of the cholent either. So what's the point?
You want lunch.
What?
Nutrition.
Otherwise, you're going to go hungry all day.
You are a Vulcan with respect to eating. Yeah. We're gonna give him devil dogs tomorrow for lunch. We're gonna make him eat devil dogs. No two salads. Zach, what you're saying is absolutely, purely, totally rational, as a food Vulcan would say, which is that, look, I know I don't want to taste anything. I'm not going to hurt the food, but let me just put nutrition in my stomach. So for most of us in living in modern societies, we're not starving so much we could go the day without eating. I assume that the Oneg Shabbos, make a hakira, is Oneg Shabbos about being full or about the tasting of the food? I think it's about tasting of the food. How do I know that? I can prove that. Prove that to me. How do you know that Oneg Shabbos is not really about being full, but about the enjoyment of consuming the food?
Do you do things like grinding up spices, even on Yontif for Oneg?
That's Ochel Nefesh. I don't think it's going to prove anything. Right? We're not going to say that the Torah demands you eat the blandest food, otherwise, obviously, but there's a particular halacha. What do you have to have when you eat the meal Friday night? What are you supposed to have?
Salt, the brash, and light.
Yeah. The Jews were punished. They were given the meat at night. B'seis Hashem lachem b'ayar basar lacho, because they really didn't need meat, but they asked for it, so they got it shalok hogan. Why? Because the Gemara says a suma doesn't enjoy his food the same way. Now, I don't know how they know about how a suma, I guess if someone were once blind, once seeing and now blind, the point is part of the experience of food is not just the taste, it's the smell, and it's also the eyesight, right? And as you could have two foods that taste identical, but if one is presented in the most unappetizing fashion, people will not enjoy it the same way. So you see that for Shabbos, on part of Shabbos, is not just hanas kreso, hanas mea, but also hanas hagaron.
At the same time, there is subsidy to being full on Shabbos. There's not a lot of fast, right? So, I mean, if you don't eat all day, like, it's not...
Fine. I love you, Zach. It's great. Okay. Vince,
yeah. Also, what if you know that you have awful taste buds? Like, I have a friend who has no sense of smell, so he really can only, like, taste, like sour, sweet, whatever. So can you just say, like, even though this fela tastes it,
so my inclination is that lemaisa we would say that if it's nirgash l'stam b'nei adam, it's aser for everybody. If it's not nirgash l'stam b'nei adam, it might be only aser for those who would taste it. Now, logically speaking, on a daraisa level, if you hold Tom Kaker's daraisa, it might be logical to say that if you can't taste it, then for you, it's actually mutar. Again, provided the mamashus is bakal, right? In some level, right? If let's say a person literally tastes nothing, so you're not going to say, well, they can eat chazir because they don't taste the pork. It's just like, this is substance going about. That we're not going to say, but that's mamashus of the yisr. I'll tell you why I think that as a matter of principle. Take the following question. Supposing I have tzbach locus. Supposing I have something that's no Saint Talmud of Gam, not a clay. I have an ingredient that falls into my food and it detracts from the taste. I can taste it, but it makes the taste worse. It's edible, but it makes the taste worse. So we say no sin tam of gamas mutter. How much iser can there be until it's aser? So the Rashba says, you need a majority of heter. The Ran comes along and disagrees. We're going to learn this in Simen Kof Gimel Adalot. The Ran says it depends. If the amount of benefit that you get from eating this food because it has additional volume. In other words, previously I had 20 ounces of food to serve the guest, but it tasted really good. Now I have 39 ounces of food to serve the guest, but it doesn't taste great. It's edible, doesn't taste great. The Ran says that if the increase in volume, that hana outweighs the lost hana of the tam, he thinks you don't say that no sein talav gam is mutter. So there are two very, very different ways of thinking about what nesinas tam, what the iser actually is. If you say like the Rashba, I would be inclined to think that if you have terrible taste buds, maybe it's mutter. But Zach, if I say like the Ran, I would argue that even if you can't taste it, if you're getting hana'as me'ayim from iser that you can taste, just tastes bad, it's no longer called nosein tam, it's different. No longer called nosein tam lefgam, because it's not lefgam. It detracts from the flavor, but it increases the total experience. So yeah, I don't know, maybe it doesn't map perfectly to your question, but you have to at least think about that machlokas in your context. All right, but I'm not going to say anything more on this right now. I wanted to mention just a couple of things. The Rush, so I can't let, I won't let you finish, Lavi. You can't get a word in with me. Go ahead. The Kasav Ode. Okay. And even if he's an Uman, even if he knows that you're relying upon him, that his there are high stakes in this, you don't have to worry about him lying because he doesn't want to cost himself his professional reputation. So the Rashba's position is that in order to have a guy taste the food, under what circumstances can it be done? Either in Uman or Mesiach Lefituma. You need one or the other, you don't need both. But then the Rashba quotes an opinion. That might be Rashi Shita. What does Rashi say? Rashi says that a kfela is a nachtom. We don't know whether Rashi really holds nachtom davka, or he's just explaining. You know what a kfela is? A nachtom. And Rashi says he has to be Mesiach Lefituma. That he does say. So Tosus disagrees with Rashi. Tosus are probably, I suspect, is Tosus beferish that either or does Tosus assume? What is Tosus? You guys just saw the Tosus. I don't know if it's clear. So it's not clear from Tosfos that you can use a non-kvela. It's clear that if he's a kvela, that you don't need Mesiach Lefituma. Right? So Rashi says you need Mesiach Lefituma even if it's a kvela. And we don't know for Rashi whether you need kvela or not, but he might hold you need both. Tosos only says that you need a kvela. Tosos says you don't need Mesiach Lefituma by a kvela. He might hold that you still need a kvela. It just doesn't matter whether it's Mesiach Lefituma or not. Then what does the Rush say? Is it kach kach kasav Adoni Hivarazal? Shetzarech. All right. So the Rush says, he said, the Torah says, my father, the Rush, says the same thing, that he has to not know that you're so mechalav with respect to Beser Beheter. In other words, he has to be what? Mesiach Lepituma. Now, what does the Rush say about Kfelo Nach Kfela? The answer is nothing. And the Beis Yosef point, he doesn't make it clear. The Beis Yosef points out here, that's why the Tur said what he said. He quoted the Rashba who said that you need Beisich Lefitumo and you need an Uman. There was a Shita. The Rashba says, Yesh Misha Oser. And then he says, V'kach Kasav Adoni Yavar Shazal. So why does he just stop there? My father says the same thing. The answer is, because we don't know from the Rush what he holds by Nachtom. We only know the Rush says, you have to be Beisich Lefitumo, which is against Tosos. Right? Tosos might hold that all you need is Kvela. And the Rush might hold that all you need is Mesiach Lefituma. And Rashi holds both. And the Rashba says either. And then the Rambam, which I want to read, says neither. And so those are the five Shitas. Bottom line, Mechaber Paskins like the Rashba. How does the Ramah Paskin? So take a look in the Darkei Moshe Levi. On the top, if it's all in the same edition, the top of Kuf Chav Tesam and Aleph, comment about the Darkei Moshe. Who wrote the Darkei Moshe, firstly? Moshe Isserles, same person who wrote the Ramah. The Sefer the Ramah wrote on Shulchan Aruch is called the Mapa. It's the tablecloth. The Shulchan Aruch is the table. The Mapa is the tablecloth. The Darkei Moshe, in his introduction, explains that he was writing a work a lot like the Beis Yosef. And then there was an earthquake. not a literal one, although there was an earthquake in Svat at some point in that period, but I don't remember when that was. And the Beis Yosef was published. And it stole his thunder. So I don't know what the Darkei Moshe really did in the end, whether he changed the nature of his work, but he did write a full sefer. It's much shorter than the Beis Yosef, called the Darkei Moshe. Now, he only wrote one sefer. You see on the side two Darkei Moshes, right? Darkei Moshe and Darkei Moshe Aruch. The one that the Rama actually wrote was the Aruch. But the printers came along, and remember when they were printing stuff, you know what the really, really expensive thing is in printing today? Labor. You know what the really, really, really expensive thing was in the early days of the printing press? Paper. Why do you think they use, why do you think today they, or look at, you ever notice the Bar Ilan, when all these shut that you have all these abbreviations, they unpack them for you? Why did the authors write with, why did they write and publish them with abbreviations? Okay, an author might write with an abbreviation because he's trying to save time. The answer is because paper was very expensive. It'd save a lot of pages that way. So, somebody decided, hey, we have the, what's that?
Tzuradaf is Kodesh, so.
Not at the Shulchan Aruch, actually. And they call this a Tzuradaf, but it never achieved the same Kedusha as the Vilna Shas, because the Vilna Shas came from Sinai. This was only came from later. But bottom line is that Darkei Moshe Aruch is the original work, but the printers didn't like it because it was so much of it repeats stuff that almost all of it's found in the Beis Yosef, so they made a Kitzur. They made a Tamsis, the Darkei Moshe Katzar. It is important, even though I sometimes do it, sometimes I don't because I'm lazy, it's important to check the Darkei Moshe Aruch because sometimes you'll understand things from that that you don't understand from the Katzar version. One very important example, it's not going to come up this year. What day of the week is Pesach on this year? Anyone remember? It's not Shabbos again, is it? No.
I think it's Thursday.
Yeah, it's not Shabbos. Yes, Rosh Hashanah next year is Shabbos, so it's on a Thursday. So what happens? What do you do? Oh, it's not just on, it's not, it doesn't really matter. What's the status of egg matzah on Erev Pesach? So before four Sha'os, the Shas is a Chametz, you can eat egg matzah, assuming you're not a brisket and you're worried about matzah shiva, they can be yotzei b'dievan at night. So it's not good for matzah slitza, so you're allowed to eat it before the Zman is a Chametz. Are you allowed to eat it? Now, after 9 hours in the day, you can't eat it because it's Samach L'Erev, you're not allowed to eat. The Gemara says, Arvim Pesach, I'm Samach L'Mincha, Yochal, Adam, Shetechshah, etc. You can have a little fruit in Ashna, but you're not allowed to have bizonos. But what is the story between hour 4 and hour 9 of the day on Erev Pesach? So if you read the Darkei Moshe HaKotzar, you might walk away with the impression that the minhag is not to eat during that time, as if it's an Isser Chametz. But if you look at the Darkei Moshe Aruch, Shechter points out, it's clear there was no minhag not to eat egg matzah during that time period. The minhag is that they didn't bother to make egg matzah, because why is an Ashkenazi really make egg matzah? Before Shavuos, you can eat chametz. Once you reach to the ninth hour, you're not going to be able to eat egg matzah. And you know where I'm going with this, Zachary? Yes, that's why I mentioned Shabbos Shacholios, Erev Pesach Shacholios B'Shabbos. And then from 9 hours and on, you can't eat it because it's mizonos. And then Pesach comes in Minag Ashkenaz, except for Zakenim and Ketanim, we then cholim, we don't eat egg matzah. So for 5 hours, it's not worth making big egg matzah to eat other food. Area this can come up on potentially is what do you do for Suda Shlishis on Erev Pesach Shecholios B'Shabbos? So Rav Schechter's answer is you can ask egg matzah. You know, some people they try to eat two meals before the Zmanis or Chametz or something like that, or to be mafsik in the middle of the meal. So that's very nice, but it's a little inconvenient. And for the Rambam, it doesn't actually solve the problem, because for the Rambam you have to daven mincha before you eat Suda. It seems you're supposed to daven mincha before you eat Suda Shlishis. The Seder Yom is supposed to be Tfila Suda, Tfila Suda, Tfila Suda. So you can't daven mincha until after. And by that point, you can't eat chametz. So if you hold the egg matzahs like chametz, there's no way to eat it. So anyway, but if you actually look at the Darkei Moshe Aruch, it's clear there's no minhag not to eat egg matzah at a time. They just didn't usually have egg matzah. That's all. But if you have egg matzah, because they, you know, they bake in factories, so you can use that for suda shlishis if you want. Even if it's pasav abakistan, you kovei asud on it, make hamotzi, you wash, make hamotzi, and you bench on it afterwards. So that's why here I don't think there's anything in Darkei Moshe Aruch that matters, but. We're generally, so only in the new printings, the fancy printings of the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, have they reprinted the Darkei Moshe Aruch. In fact, in the editions that we used when I was a student in Yeshiva, which is still a nicely set Torah, they print the Darkei Moshe Aruch in the back. But here they put it into the margins along with the regular Darkei Moshe. Okay. So, what does the Darkei Moshe here say, Lavi? On the top, yeah, it's top left. Os Aleph. Left side, all the way on the left side of the page. Uve agur. My page says Kuf Chav Tes. That's wild. Okay. I guess funny. They've changed the edition probably. How many of you, I know this is strange, but how many of you say Kuf Chav Tes on the top of the facing page where we start Zadi Ches? What does yours say? Kuf Lamed Aleph?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. Okay. Now you see. Aleph. Go ahead. What does he say? Uva Agur Kasav. Kasav. No?
Kuf Lamed Bet. Kuf Lamed Bet.
I was on point. You're not supposed to change pagination once you did. Okay. Cool. Ad Khan Lashona. So he quotes the Agur, whom I don't remember exactly who the Agur is, but he's some Ashkenazi Rishon, and the Agur says that we don't rely upon a Kvela. Why he doesn't say, the Achronim speculate as to why this might be the case. I'm not really interested. The bottom line is Ashkenazim do not rely upon a kvela. So the entire discussion is moot. So therefore, if you're an Ashkenazi, what's the only question you want to ask is the rabbi when someone has a mixture of issur v'heter? The only question you want to ask is?
What's the
shir v'tel? Shishim. That's correct. Do you have the shir v'tel? Do you not? All right. I want to just briefly read the Rambam, and then we're going to go on to the next topic within this. The Rambam writes the last mine is the bottom paragraph on the first page. I hope you have. Do you see me, Divrei HaRambam? Okay, I'll read. Midivrei Rambam nireh da al kol nachri somchin af al gav she'eno kfeila. It would appear from the Rambam that you don't need a kfeila. Shekasa beperek tesvav mehilchos macholas asuros v'im hoya baser b'chalavo yayin esech v'chulei toim osam hanachri v'somchin al piv. Im amar ein botam osh amar yesh botam umitam rahu. It's a varei pagamo, that's tam of gam, hakol mutar. V'hu shelo yehi sofer lashpiach. It has to be a tam that's going to stay pagam. Sometimes you have a mixed something, apparently that gets mixed into the food, it gives it a negative flavor. But if you cook it now, you heat it up, it will change and it will actually, the iser will flavor the heter in a positive way. So if the Nachwi tells you that, Haresha Adkan, Haresha Lohiskir Nachtom, Ela Nachwi Sam, the Rambam doesn't say Nachtom, he says a goy. Venirashu sober the kfela the kamar tamudul adavka, ela urcha de milsa nakat, oh, shakol habo litom, anybody who's coming to taste, kari kfela al shema, shu osef osasho, shatim amalachas nachtomi. Right? He's called kfela because that's what he's doing right now. Venira oach, eno matsuch shame sech lefitumo, the imkain havale lilachat came beferish. In Ramam doesn't mention mesech lefitumo, the ode, the lishna, the somchin al piv, mashma, shaaf al pishe ude, she iser tole bedavar, somchin alav. Now. Fine. Question, I say this once. What is Rav Yosef's Karo Sefer, real Sefer of Psak? It is the Beis Yosef. How do you know this? Because you're going to see what's about to happen all the time. What?
It says in the introduction.
So he says, but I know that it's true. I'm talking about empirically, you see. So look at these last few lines, Rav Yosef. In Nirali, Shemeacha Sharamba Meko Bedavar, Yeshlismo Chasvar Satosis Farash Baran, Dolomatsuchi Bekfela, Shemeseich Lepitumo. Uvenochri de lav kvela samchin and a ram of rashba the sharube varash the ashachan the poly. Umiu nirish at serach shemi sech lefitumo kevin lav kvela. So basically, the Pascha is like the Rashba on the basis that the Ramam supports, the Ramam would go even further, but he really basically says that the Ramam and the Rush would, at least in the second case, the Rush doesn't argue, and therefore there's what to rely upon in order to use kvela. So his psak is the only time you can't use a kvela here. Is if you can't use a guy, is if he's not a kfela and he's not Mesiach Lefituma. In the Shulchan Aruch, by the way, I think he doesn't even mention, I think he leaves out one of the factors, but you can assume that he paskins the way he paskins here. And so often the Beis Yosef will use a two word expression after quoting an opinion, which is also an indication of psak, and that is, Vehachi Naktinon. That's the way we hold. So this really is what his Sefer Psak is, right? Those who have mentioned this, what is the Shulchan? Those who would not hear this from me, what was the purpose of the Shulchan Aruch?
For laymen.
No! Loi mitan aleph. Vav of no vav, I don't care if malay b'chaser, but it's loi mitan aleph. Not true. What's the purpose of the Shulchan Aruch? It was for chazara, a quick monthly chazara on all the Beis Yosef. A lot to read in a month. I know, even when you strip out, even I once wanted to know this. I went and, I don't know if it's still, I'm sure it exists in some form, like these places that would print PDFs to and bind them in a book. I forget what the name of the place was. Lulu or something like that? Whatever it was. So I downloaded a first printed, first edition, or one of the earliest editions, wasn't the first, of the Shulchan Aruch, Mechaber with Ramo. It's a farsa, it's not easy to read, just the font. But I downloaded it and had them print and bind it. I think they only did two Chalakim of Shulchan, I had two Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch. It's still a hefty book, even without all the Nosei Kelim of the Shulchan Aruch. Yes, it's much faster to read the Shulchan Aruch if you have no Nosei Kelim. But still, wow. Anyway, so that was what he wrote. But the Shulchan Aruch, basically the crib notes of the Beis Yosef. You will almost never, ever, ever find a din in the Shulchan Aruch where it's different than we wrote in the Beis Yosef. I'm not saying never, but almost never. Nor something that's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's not in the Beis Yosef. It almost never happens. There is one case in Basar B'Chalav where we're going to have that, but it's something that he talks about in the Beis Yosef and Arachayim, but the Psach, I forget which way it works, and he talks about the Beis Arachayim, but the Psach is actually here and not in Arachayim. By the way, in the Beis Yosef, he's written some stuff that's in our Taroves, but he already wrote it in Orachaim because it came up there in one kind, like Davar Sheish Lamatir, and comes up on Yom Tov. So he'll tell you, go look what I wrote there. He doesn't repeat himself. When we do the Simon on Recha Milsahi, whether cooking two things in an oven at the same time makes it Aser, in Simon Koches, he discussed everything, basically almost everything in Simon Sadi Zion, which is the last Simon in Basar B'Chalav, so you have to go back and do that when we do Koches. But he'll tell you, I discussed it all there. But the Beis Yosef is his magnum opus. It's the Sefer HaPsach. The Beis Yosef also wrote another very important Sefer, which has a lot of overlap. It's much smaller, but a lot of overlap Beis Yosef. What was that Sefer? Nice try, Yosef. Okay. No, I doubt that overlaps at all with the Beis Yosef. What is the Sefer that he wrote? And it's a big question as to which he wrote first, which might be helpful, but I don't think we can tell. The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. It's mostly, remember, what does he do in the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam? So he explains the Rambam, but often he'll quote the Rashba and the Ran if they're different. So there are times where there are very long passages found both in the Beis Yosef and the Kesef Mishnah. When there are differences, the question is, which did he write first, which did he write second? I think we don't know the answer to that question. And it's not clear that he wrote one Lagamre and then wrote the other. They may have been being written at the same time. So it's important to keep that in mind. I don't have a definite answer methodologically for what you should do in that case. But those, by the way, Rabbi Yosef Karo's big major works were the Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef, and you can kind of throw the Shulchan Aruch. He also has Tshuvas, by the way. You know what his Tshuvas were called? Avkas Rochel. There's one very important Tshuva that it's several Tshuvas together, which is very important because it's not discussed explicitly in Shulchan Aruch, only its inverse is, what do you do if you're a Ben Chutz La'aretz visiting Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov? It was a big machlokas in the Mechaber's time. Mechaber said, I don't understand how this is possible. He says in the Tshuvos, in the Shulchan Aruch, he only talks about a Ben Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, that Meikar Adin, he doesn't keep 2 days, but he's not allowed to do any malach in the Tchum. From that, you should be able to infer the reverse, but he doesn't say it in Shulchan Aruch. But in the Avkas Rochel, he had a long exchange with the, was it the Mabit? I figured we had a big fight about this. He claims that in Eretz Yisrael, there was actually, in his day, a minion of Bnei Chutz La'aretz on Yom Tov, which I find to be mind-boggling. I mean, Jews didn't have the money to burn then to go to Eretz Yisrael for Yantav. I mean, if you went to Eretz Yisrael, you only went for Yantav? Like, you knew you were going back? I'm sure there was occasionally a person who was a wayfarer. If they did that, you had a minion of Jews in Eretz Yisrael who were Bnei Chutz La'aretz. They weren't staying in Eretz Yisrael, that you had such a thing. So anyway, so that's found in the Tshuvas Avkas Rochel. I'm not going to discuss them in Magen Mishram. I've never opened the book. That's a larger question. If someone who had a bird on his shoulder talking to him, it's kind of amazing that we still actually accept him as the major posek of Kal Yisra. Okay. But I don't think, by the way, that stuff really has any play in the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't. It's a totally separate world for him. And let's put it this way. The Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch is totally predictable. You know exactly. I mean, you don't exactly. You have a very good idea of going to Paskin. The Ramah is totally unpredictable. Why? So I don't know if I mentioned this in Shira. I haven't forgotten. It wasn't a promise, but an attempt. I want to do biographies with you guys, so I'm going to try to do that. I just have to have the Yishuv Adas to prepare. So the Darkei Moshe writes in his introduction that when he initially started paskening, he wanted to follow the way the Beis Yosef does. And the what's the Beis Yosef's rule of psak? Riff and Rush, two of the majority of the three, when the three have an opinion. And in general, the Beis Yosef prefers early Rishonim. Earlier the Rishonim, the greater their authority. And the Darkei Moshe says that originally he sort of wanted the pasta that way, and his colleagues effectively hit him over the head and said, that's not the way we do things here. As we say, Hilchos HaKavasrei, we look at all the late halachas from, right? I think I mentioned the Shari Dura. Right? The Shari Dura was written by a Talmud of the Maharami Rutenberg, Rav somebody Duren, Shimon Duren, I don't remember who it is. And then the Shari Dura became the manual that in Ashkenaz people wrote commentaries on. So I believe the Marshal, or Shlomo Luria wrote one. The Rama wrote on it. The Trumas Adeshin wrote on it. All sorts of hagos that were written on the Shari Dura. That's the way they did things, because you kind of kept adding your stuff that you were putting there. There are people, scholars, who I imagine have written about this kind of thing. In Ashkenaz, they were very big on commentaries and super commentaries. I don't know if they were quite as big on that in Spanish lands. They possibly were. I have no idea. We know if you think about it, in the Shulchan Aruch, where basically almost every single commentary written on the Shulchan Aruch is what? Of what provenance?
Ashkenazi.
You have probably the Birkei Yosef, I think, is Sephardi. But there's almost no, now, that could be the bias, obviously, of Ashkenazi printers. It's possible, but I'm not sure that that's the case. I'm not sure that that's the case. It may just reflect a very different style of halacha. Ashkenazim, it could be, they write commentaries on, because you're constantly updating and so on and so forth. That's not the way the Derech HaPsak in among Sephardim. I'm not saying that's true today, but that was true certainly for a very, very long time. Okay, so anyway, so bottom line is, where does that leave us? The Darkei Moshe says, we don't run Lepalma Pekfeil at all. Fine. So there was the five Shitos. Next. Now the question of, when do you use a Kfeilah? So this, I think, we discussed more extensively in Shir a bit, because we read that Rashi. And what did Rashi say? Let's read the Torah, actually. Thank you, Lavi. Well done. Zachary, is it okay to read? Yes, read the Torah. So, what's that? Back in the tour, on Minshin Isare, Minshin Isare Bimino. Now, this, by the way, is finishing the previous sentence. So the Beis Yosef points out this line belongs earlier. Yeah. This is the last of Rava's three statements. Go ahead. Okay. So if it's Min Bimino, and he gives the example of Chelev and Shuman, which, by the way, leads me to believe that earlier it was what? Chelev and Basar. Right? And he's assuming, not like the Rashba. The Rashba writes in his Chidushim, and I would guess in the Torah Sabayis, Chelev and Basar are Min Bimino. The Torah doesn't hold away, the Mechaber doesn't hold away. Chelev and Basar are two Minim. Chelev and Shuman are Min Echad, which is true. Okay. So in that case, either that case or Min Bishen Amino, where you don't have a Kfeila, it's Bishishim. Now he explains. Go ahead. Upirish Rashi. Oh, so this was Rashi's Shita. And we explained when we learned this in Shir, why does Rashi say you need Kfeila? For what concern do you need Kfeila? Alter? To eliminate what concern? Tom, and why do you need Shishim? To eliminate what concern? Mamashus. No, if a kfeila tells you there's no tam, it doesn't matter whether you're shishim or not. So Rashi Shitas, you need both tam, if you have a choice, as the Torah is about to say. You have a kfeila available, you need both shishim and kfeila. Then, he said, continue, Bahani Mili. Okay. So that's what Rashi says. If you have a kfeila, you need both. You don't have a kfeila, you rely just upon shishim. Now, the Ramban disagrees. Why did the Ramban and the Ran and the Rashba disagree? So we mentioned this here. What was their problem with Rashi? Because the Gemara sounds like samchina na kfeila. The kfeila is a kula. According to Rashi, kfeila is a chumra. Because if you don't have kfeila, what do you use? If you do have a kfeila, what do you use? Both. It can only be a chumra. So that's why the Ramban says no. He distinguishes between two cases. One is a case, the Ramban chilek. Did any of you get through the Beis Yosef on this part? The Beis Yosef had a different nusach, a different conjunction in the Ramban, and he comments about it. But our text has it correctly. So if you look at the... it's two lines. In the medium with lines, not the first time, but the second time. Vida, you see the paragraph begins Vida? Vida sheish b'divrei Ramban shekosav Rabbeinu Tosofer v'tzorach limchok Tevas lefi v'lichtavim komo ella. V'chem atzasi v'sefer v'dunyak. In our svarim, we already have the word ella. A note about this. Some people today are either averse to textual corrections based upon manuscripts, or they like to make fun of people, make fun of academics, because that's all they do is manuscripts. It's not true about academics. That's not all they do, make manuscripts. It might be worth making fun of them, but not because they spend work in manuscripts. Rishonim were very well over these things. There's a very important sefer that the Beis Yosef wrote to deal with errors in the Beis Yosef. You know what that was called? You will see it sometimes in brackets. Let me see if there are any in the Siman. It's actually inserted into the Beis Yosef when he made later corrections after the first printing. Somebody said it. The Bedek HaBayis. Not the Bedek HaBayis of the Ra'ah, but the Bedek HaBayis of the Beis Yosef. And you will find it. If you take a look, turn to the fifth page in the Siman. I don't know. God only knows what number it is in your thing. It might be Siman page Kuf Lamed Dalet. Hold your finger on our page, but turn to Kuf Lamed. Mine, it's Kuf Lamed Beis. What is the first word in the Torah on that page? What's the word on the first word on the page? What? Oh no! Don't tell me they changed the pagination. Oh goodness gracious! In the tour? Read me some more words. That's so it's later than that in the Torah. Look for Os Dalet in the Beis Yosef. Great, I told you guys to all buy the same edition, the same one I had, except for his genius. Kuf Lamed Hei. Okay, lovely. You see a different font on the Beis Yosef with big letters, Bedek HaBayis? Yeah. It's one of his corrections. Sometimes it's corrections of an error. Sometimes it's a source that he adds in. Okay, fine. Anyway, so some of the corrections that he has are already in the Torah. And that wouldn't be Bedek HaBayis. That's a comment of the Beis Yosef. All right, continue, whoever my intrepid reader is, Zachary.
Yes.
Slow down. Okay. So the Ramban says, you know when we rely upon a kfela? When you remove the mamashas from the tarobas. You know, there's my cheesecloth bag that was in the soup. So you accidentally put you put orange, you're making orange soup. So you put oranges of Orla in there. So there, well, that's bad. I don't like that example. But let's say the orange was an ingredient in the soup, some kind of fruit soup. And the oranges were Orla, but you pull the oranges out because they're in a bag, a cheesecloth bag. So in that case, the Ramban says you ask the kfela whether you taste oranges or not. Because the noma mashas, that's where a kfela can help you. Whereas, aval, okay, so the Ramban says, if the mamashas of Isser is in there, then you need shisha to be mevatel it, but you don't need to bother with the kfela, because we'll assume there's no taste after shisha. Of course, if you do taste it, it would be Isser. Okay. The repayrish, so that's two shitas. Rashi says you need when you have you need both kfela and shishim if you have kfela available. And kfela is the chumrah. And the Ramban says no, kfela is used when it's only a question of tam, when the mamashus was removed. But the question is there any tam? And I think the Ran says it doesn't mean mamish no mamashus. If it was a very small amount of mamashus, that's like tam. That's when you ask a kfela. But the and now the re Tosa says repayrish. Okay. Ulazeh hiskim adoni avirasa. All right. So Tosas's position, which is the Rambam's position in principle as well, is that we don't care about shishim by mimishen amino. What do we care about? Only by mimishen amino. Only one thing concerns us. Tam. As long as you have a rove of heter and there's no tam of isser, it's mutter. And that's the Tosas and Rambam's position. The Rambam, there are two interesting little knaches in the Rambam and Tosas. Firstly, the Beis Yosef says, according to the Rambam, what if you have shishim? Do you need a kvela? If one is available, do you have to use a kvela?
No.
Yes. According to the Rambam. The Rambam never mentions shishim by Mimishen Amino. He only mentions shishim by min bimino, where the Rambam says that orla and kilayat karam truma each have their own 100, 200, whatever it is, and yai nesach is not batel, and all of the isurim are shishim. When the Rambam talks about min b'shein omino, the Beis Yosef points this out. When the Rambam talks about min b'shein omino, he only talks about kfeila. If you don't have kfeila, the assumption is you can use a shishim. But when you have kfeila, he doesn't talk about using shishim. So that's the Rambam's position. Now, what is Tosus's position? So Tosus says, if you have shishim, you don't need a kfeila. There are those who say, I think the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this, I don't think this is correct. According to Tosus, what if you have shishim and then you taste it and it has tam? What's the din? So he quotes those who say it's mutter according to Tosus, that that's not called real tam. That, by the way, could go back to the question earlier, maybe you asked, what happens if you have a super duper tam flavor, how do you regard that? I don't think Tosus says that, actually. I don't think Tosus addresses that issue. I think Tosus would say, of course, if there happens to be tam, it's asur. But there are those who claim that Shita Satosus is, once you have shishim, you don't have to worry. Even if you have tam, that's called the tam kolosh or tam kolshenu, and that doesn't actually count. I know where the concept of tam kolshenu might come up in Tosus, but it's not in that context. And I don't think Tosus holds that way. I think Tosus agrees with the Rambam, except for if he's more makel than Rambam to say that if you have shishim, mistama, you don't need to use the kfeila. You can assume, and then if you taste it, it's a taste, it's a problem. Whereas the Rambam says, if you have a kfeila available, it would seem the Rambam holds you can't use shishim. You have to use the kfeila. If you don't have a kfeila available, then you can use shishim. One second, I just want to see that line in the Rambam. Right, that's the Beis Yosef just says, "Hareisha lo hiskir shir shishim klal b'mimishen amino de efsher lameka b'taima." He doesn't mention in a case of mimishen amino where it's possible to establish the tam. Okay, fine. So, any questions about that? No questions. Okay, moving right along. The Os Beis. Who would like to read for me? Yeah, Polster. Please. Mechaber us with Os Beis in the tour. So it doesn't matter. Mimbamino, mimbashen omino, when you have a tarobes, and this is a blended mixture, it's lach dalach, so you require shishim. Fine. Umihu. Rabbeinu Tam says that even though Mimbamino and Mimbashenamino both require Shishim, there is a difference between the two. Because Mimbamino's requirement of Shishim is only Midrabanon, because Minatorah it's Batel Barov. But Mimela, Chacham required Shishim, Vishalobamino.
Vishalobamino also Minatorah ad Shishim.
Ella.
Ella she'en lokin alav ad shehevo kol kach mina isur ad shehevo toch kol dalet beitzin mina heder kizayim mina isur. Ve'az chayim al kol kizayim kizayim.
So what position does he attribute to Rabbeinu Tam? What position does he attribute to Rabbeinu Tam? What's the din by Mimishen Omina? What's the din of Tam ki'ikar? Daraisa d'Rabbana. It's Daraisa. That's why Mimbashen Amina requires Shishim in Atar, the Mivat of the Tam. Now, but you don't get Malkus unless what? Unless you have enough Isser that it's Kazayas Betoch Hadei Achilas Arba Beitzim. And what is Kadei Achilas Arba Beitzim also known as? Kadei Achilas Pras. He's following here, I think, Rashi Shita, that it's Pras is four Beitzim. The Rambam holds Gimel. It's a very brief question I have on the minor topics in the bottom. It's one tiny line. The Beis Yosef points out there's a famous machlokas Rashi and the Rambam whether achila kideach this process kazayis betol dala beitzim betol gimel beitzim.
But he doesn't have to eat it at least some
certain time. No. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the way the Torah presents it, if you eat a kazayis of this combination, you get malchus. Yes. Well, you say out there according to the Rambam, how much do you have to eat? You have to eat a pras. You have to eat a pras, so you're getting a kazayis of iser. Now. Now. Does Rabbeinu Tam say what the Torah attributes to him? And the answer is, did you trust the Torah quoting Rabbeinu Tam? Never, ever trust anyone, quoting anyone, if you can check yourself. Tosus quotes Rashi. You believe Tosus? What's with you? Go check whether Rashi said it or not. Of course, one of the problems is that often after Tosus, you know, attacks Rashi, somebody went back and changed the Rashi. But don't trust Tosos, don't trust the Torah. In this case, don't trust the Torah because Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say this. What is Rabbeinu Tam's position? So I'm going to read very rapidly now, Beis Yosef. Try to stay focused as I read. I want to run through, I don't know if it's humanly possible to run through this page. If you have questions, stop me. Okay, but let's start with the paragraph in the Beis Yosef. Umi uperish Rabbeinu Tam. You guys see that paragraph? The perikol abasar, I'm not going to read the whole Libra Maso. The perikol abasar besov shmaitza the tipas chalav shenaf letochaticha posak Rashi, dalachak Rabbi Yehuda damar mimimina lo batil, the heavy rayas ledvarav. So Rashi, at the end of that difficult sugya, paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, mimimina is not batil. Tosos, the perikid on Asha sasur dvarav, the helu, the less hilchasa ke Rabbi Yehuda. Tosos says, we don't paskin Rabbi Yehuda, v'chein pasak shem haran, ube perik basra, so that's where the ran paskins like Tosos. Ube perik basra, davo de zara, Garcin and Rabu Shmuel, the Amitavaya call Isurin Shibatar Bemina, Bemashu Shalabimina, but Ose Tam, for Rabbi Yochan and Brish Lakish, Tamitavaya, Bemina, Ben Shalabimina, Menor Saint Tam, Chutz, Mitavo Vayayan Nesach. Okay, so, have you seen this Gemara? I don't know, but I've quoted it before. Now you see the Gemara. Uposak Harashka, Rabbi Yochan and Brish Lakish. The Rush Paskins that Mibiminos Batova Afal Pisha Rif Pasak Ravu Shmuel, even though the Rif and Avo Dezara Pasak like Rav and Shmuel, Kfar Kosvu Harosh Vaharan, Shechozerbo, Betsiva Lasake, and the Halacha Yochan or Meshlakish. The Rif originally Pasak Rabbi Huda. The Rif then turned around and said, erase it. We don't Pasak Rabbi Huda. What? He instructed them to fix it. I don't remember what appears in our text. But it was known that the Rift went back to Tamin to fix my commentary. We don't pass them that way. Beis Yosef already quoted this Rambam. V'chach pasak harashva b'toras habayis v'kosav harivash b'tshuvas simen shimen tesha kach eskimu kol ho'achronim. Now who was the Rivash? When did the Rivash live? Was he Rishon or Achron?
Rishon.
How do you know that?
Also
because the Beis Yosef is quoting him.
So
the Rivash says in the Tshuva that all the Achronim agree with Tosos. Was the Rivash a Navi? He said that all the Achronim agree with Tosos. Is there a mistake in printing in the Rivash?
Maybe the Rivash was a Navi.
What?
Maybe the Rivash was a Navi.
What's that? He said all the Achronim agree. So understand, when we say Rishon and Achron, we've frozen this arbitrary convention, which we usually use the Shulchan Aruch as the cutoff point. When Rishonim talk about the Achronim, they're talking about the late Rishonim, what we would call the late Rishonim. So when the Rivash says, V'kach kasu kol Achronim, means all the recent, the latter day authorities, we would say the Basrai, all say like Tosfos. That's all it means. The Rivash is not quoting the Achronim. Okay. Right, this is Simi Kovtes. When the Ran says, we paskin, that min b'mino is batel, but you need shishim mid the Rabbanon, but nafi yavesh b'yavesh. Okay. Now, umashe kosav od rabbeinu b'shalo b'mino osur min ha-torat shishim, b'perkir anoshe garsinan amar b'chibar abba amri b'shub and levi, kol isun shabetor b'shishim, v'rav asi amri b'shub and levi, kol isun shabetor b'mea, u'shneem l'olamdua el mizra b'shela. So then the Gemara asks, umi yalfin an mine. This is why, by the way, that you've learned the Gemara, you fly through the Beis Yosef. The Gemara answers, it's an asmach to be amahu. Why? Tami the raisa bruba batel. Why? Because it's bimimino. The hainu time of mishum the mizra b'sheila leka lemigmar ad the lo plug rabbanon. Okay. Fine. Upeirish Rashi. So remember, you had Rabbis Teretz of Tam Kikar. So Upeirish Rashi, the Tam Kikar. No Saint Tam, Kimlan the Osir Bekachim, Kikar Mamashar Shalisar. The Kasav Rashi, the Midaka Amar Rava,
The bekachim asr mashma the last day tam kikar bechulin elamid rabbanon uchem mefarish for us elamid daraisa beruva batal. So it sounds from Rashi. Rashi says that it sounds that Rava Paskin's tam kikar is only drabbanon because midaraisa robe is enough. There's a problem with this Rashi, but I'm not going to go into it. What's the problem with the Rashi? What's the problem even with Rashi's reading the Gemara saying that mimbishen omino is batal barov min haTorah because the tam is only drabbanon? According to a different Gemara that you know, what is the shear of bittel min haTorah min b'shein amino? It's not a robe. What is it? If you can taste it, there might be an issa daraisa that you get malchus for. What would that be?
Tom Kiker.
No. Rashi says tam kikar is rabbanon. There can be no issa unless you're tasting it. But even if you're tasting it, if it's tam of olam hamasho, you're not chayav malchus for. When would you be chayav malchus for eating and tasting? What? Rashi, and based on Kulin, it sounds like you need a rove of Isser. And a rove of Heter is enough. But that's not what it would appear from another Gemara. What's that? And what's the definition of Mamasho, according to the Gemara of Avodah Zarah? What is the shear of Mamasho, according to the Gemara of Avodah Zarah? Am Rav Yochanan, kol she tama u Mamasho asr v'lo kadalav. Tama v'lo Mamasho, asr v'in lo kadalav. What is considered tama u Mamasho? Kizayis v'toch kideyachi las pras. In other words, even for Rashi, who says that Tam Kikar is the Rabbanon, Rove is not enough to be Mevatel. You need to have less than a Kesayis V'toch Te'achilas Pras. That's for sure the Rambam Shiva. But the Gemara that we learned in Zerah B'Shela does sound like, remember Shein Amino? Once you have a Rove, it's Mevatel. But that doesn't hold true. Even if you paskin Tam Kikar is only the Rabbanon, it doesn't mesh with the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. And Rashi never bridges that gap. Okay. Anyway, So b'hachin, so kasa Rashi again, ode. Mi the ka'amar rabba the b'kachim asr, mashma the less they can't take are b'chulin, elam id rabbanon, uchafarash v'azam id the raisa b'rubata. B'hachanami, shamin lor b'yochanan, that mar pek basra ad vizera. I just quoted you this Gemara literally. Kol sh'etama v'lom ha'masho ein lo kanalab. V'had v'yafina b'psachem mishras li ten tam ki ikar. The Gemara in Psachem has a drusha about the Nazir who soaked his bread in wine and has the flavor of wine, that it's asr mid the raisa. Svira leilam oroi basroi desmach the ba'amu. The lav mi yalafu. It's an asmachta, not a real yalfusa, not a real limud. The hava le nazir v'gi'u le nachum, or the lav mi yalafu, you can't learn from it. The hava le nazir v'gi'u le nachum shnei ksuma ban ke'achad. That nazir and gi'u le klaimidyon, the kalim, are tuksum v'achad, both which teach you what? What do you learn from klaimidyon and from mishras? That tam is ke'ikar. So why can't you learn techala tarakula? Because the snake suma ban kechan. Because if really tam is ki ikar b'chol haTorah kula, what should the Torah have told you? How many times should the Torah have told you tam ki ikar? Once, and you would have made a binyanah from that. The fact that you have mishras and you have klei midyan tells you that tam ki ikar applies maybe only in those cases. That's how Rashi would read things. Okay. However, to make your life so easy, va'atosos hikshu al devei Rashi. Olafikach pirshu heim b'inyan acher v'harichu harbe b'inyan zeh b'perik inanesha v'perik basur dov dezara v'skiyu dvarim elu harashva ran v'rashva v'toras habayis. So they all argue in Rashi, right? The hard part is reading through all those. You have them on the Makoros, but okay. Now, Tosfos, Beis Yosef is going to get to the position of Rabbeinu Chaim, not Brisker. And we're going to read just this paragraph. The parak ginanasha upershu remainu tam the tam ki ikar b'mimishen amino the raisa the chavit shenasana isur tam beheter nepach kulo lios isur v'lokan ala b'kazayis. The entire taroves becomes isur and one kazayis of the mixture is asur. The chavah k'ilu haya kulo isur. V'ahi the Rabbi Yochanan the cholshe tam avalo mamashu ein lokan ala Mairi b'min b'mino. Here's a Rabbeinu Tam sheet that gets very difficult. I'm gonna stop reading here. I want to just explain one thing about Alpeh, point out the problem. I don't know if I said this in Shir at all. Rabbeinu Tam's position is Tam ki ikar. How much do you need in order to get Malkos? You have to eat a Kazayas. But how much Isser, what percentage of Isser do you need mixed in for Rabbeinu Tam to get Malkos midaraisa? Anybody know? What? I'm sorry? Nope. For Rabbeinu Tam, I don't believe the Torah. He's wrong. Rabbeinu Tam is explicit. It's his big machlokas with the other Baal HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Tam says that if you have Tam, even if you have less than 1/8, you know, less than Kazayas B'tokha De'achilas Pas, Rabbeinu Tam says, Asur Midaraisa V'lokin Olav.
What's his problem? His problem is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Tamo velo mamasho osur vein lokin alav. And the way Rashi and the Rambam say, osur midrabanan, and you don't get malchus. And Tamo umamasho, which is kizayis betoch techilas pras, the Gemara says is osur and lokin alav. The problem is, according to Rabbeinu and Tam, Tamo velo mamasho, why don't you get malchus min haTorah? What is Rabbeinu Tam's answer? The Gemara is talking about Mimbamina. So that's completely bizarre. And if Tamo velo mamasho means you're more than a 60th of Isser, but, so what does lo mamasho mean? Explain in a second. Tamo velo mamasho, more than 1/60th of Isser, you're not allowed to eat the heter, but you don't get malchus. Why? Because it's Mimbamino. And what's the din of Mimbamino b'daraisa? Rov. Ah, but what's Tamo mamasho? Tamo mamasho, why do you get malchus? Why is it asa b'daraisa? Rabbeinu Tam says, Tamo mamasho means you recognize the Isser. It's an ikar. And if you recognize the Isser, what doesn't take place? Bittul can't take place if you recognize the Isser. So when you eat it, you know you're eating the Isser. It's a wild reading of the Gemara. And the other Balei Tosfos know it. So how did the other Balei Tosfos solve the problem? They said the following. If there's less than a kazayas to tokhe de'achilas pras, then even though you can taste it, you don't get malchus, but it's asa midaraisa, it's the new Isser of Tam Ke'ikar. Once you have kazayas to tokhe de'achilas pras, that's called Tama Olamasho, and you're looking even if you eat one kazayas. What the Tur has done here is he has conflated the two shitos, and he has attributed Rabbeinu Chaim's shita to Rabbeinu Tam. It's not what Rabbeinu Tam said. According to Rabbeinu Tam, less than kazayas betot techilas pras that you can taste, you get malchus. According to the other Balei Tosfos, you do not. The Beis Yosef kvetches at the end of the paragraph, oh, why did the Tur mix them together? Because it doesn't really matter in our context. We're not talking about giving 70 malchus. It's asur midaraisa no matter what. Okay. That's what he says. So tomorrow we're going to continue on in the Torah and Beis Yosef. I would appreciate, by the way, feedback from you just in terms of your preparation, how the two are gelling. In other words, preparing Makoros.